Blog Talk Radio.
Bye.
are you out there? Can't hear anyone. Wait, where am I? I think I'm in a time warp. Am I up? Am I down?
Where am I?
Is anyone out there?
Spooky Lou,
are you there?
Yeah, I must be up and down too. In the time warp. It was a DMT trip. What, I have no idea what's going on, but I am here. What's going on,
Spooky.
Brother?
Spooky. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. I can hear you.
Can you hear the echo?
I hear it. What, are you on a trip?
I don't know where I am.
Scary stuff. Are you
there? Hi, Sanakori. Hey, Lou.
Hey, give me stuff. What's going on? How's the fam? How's everyone doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Good. I feel like Lou had a little cohoba earlier or something.
I might have.
I think he was getting ready for the show tonight. Live example.
Well, exactly. A little too much, huh?
No, seriously. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Okay, I'm back to Earth.
I wasn't where I was.
But I'm back.
Come back. Come back. We need you on this DMT trip night. Dimethylene, tryptamine. That's a struggle right there for me. But absolutely. So hopefully we have a special treat for our listeners tonight with the DMT trip. And Lou just really threw me off with this time warp stuff. I don't know. You need to pass some of that over here next time, brother.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Can you hear the echo?
Oh, my God.
Can you hear the echo? Yes,
yeah,
we
can.
Yeah,
I can hear the echo.
Let me tell you, I was hanging out with Pink Floyd today,
and I don't know what's going on. His echo keeps following me.
Yeah, he says his echo keeps following you. He says his echo. Oh my God.
Take it away.
Spooky Lou.
So tonight's show about DMT, of course, the second part from last week's astral projection. Sanakori got very excited over the topic, and it is an exciting topic. It's a very interesting topic. What is DMT? Where does it come from? How do we trip, you know? For those that don't know, it's apparently in every single living organism. They say it's already within us. It's some sort of chemical that can nowadays be triggered because I believe it can, what people claim or classify as a drug. But apparently people believe it can be activated when we're born and when we die. It can also be activated by using drugs. It can also be activated, apparently, like by one of our specialists, Sanakori Lou, with just plain simple meditation, I believe, from what I hear. So I don't know. He might have a treat and show us how we can go on this psychedelic trip. But I find it fascinating. There's so many people out there that have tried, even Native Americans, right, have been doing this for thousands of years with the cohiba and I'm sorry, creepy, what's the other stuff that they utilize down
ayahuasca
in
ayahuasca with DMT, like it's really popular in Mexico, South America, some parts of Asia too as well. So usually you'll find it either being smoked like in a pipe, or you'll do it in like a tea, which is how they do the ayahuasca. Sometimes some people try and snort it, but that's usually not the spiritual way. The spiritual way is usually smoking it or tea.
Yeah, apparently I was reading about a toad out here in northern part of Mexico.
Yeah, when you lick it.
Are you? Oh my God! You want to lick a toad?
Hey guys, wait. Can you hear me, guys?
You want to lick a toad?
No, that's what I heard.
Guys, can you hear me?
I heard that if the mucus on the skin of the toad can provide like a DMT hallucinogenic type of trip. So people are just like, God, I wish I remembered where I saw it. I don't even remember where I saw the article. But it was like these people were going to the areas that the frogs were in, and they were like trying to catch them and like licking them.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you, Lou. But I just want to say, right, picture that too. Imagine you walk in the middle of the night, hiking, see a group of guys and girls trying to grab a frog. Here, lick this one. Now lick this one.
I licked that one already.
I want to lick it. Bring it here.
Oh, man. That's definitely a different kind of foreplay.
Something. I'm sorry, Lou. We're getting caught up in foreplay with frogs, toads, and DMT. Darren, that sounds amazing. What were you going to say, Lou?
No, I just want to tell that Stephanie, can you hear me?
What, you've done it?
I can hear you, before?
Go ahead.
Nah, Stephanie just insulted like thousands of years of Mexicans that did the cojoba. Because that's how we took the cojoba. We used a snuff. So we snorted it. So you just dissed like
really?
Thousands
they snorted
of years.
Cojoba?
Yeah.
That I know. That I know you snort the cojoba. Yeah, as a matter of fact, people still snort the cojoba, right?
Do they snort it or do you, like, just inhale through your nose?
No,
when I say snort, I'm talking about taking the DMT powder, because DMT is, like, white, crystalline-esque powder, right? And they'll take it and they'll snort it like, other white, crystalline
like meth?
Right. No. So they'll snort it like meth. They'll snort it like crack.
Well,
do they still get the same effect?
Allegedly, they still get a DMT effect, yeah, when they snort it or when they inject it.
You can inject DMT as well? Okay.
Yeah, there's some occasions where you'll hear cases of people cooking the DMT and injecting it or snorting it like they do with cocaine.
Oh, my God.
I thought with cojoba, though, they used the cojoba in a pipe and they smoked it through their, like they inhaled it through their nose.
Oh, no, you snort the cojoba. It's you put it off like in a stick. Yeah, you just take a hardcore sniff of that and you're gone in 2 seconds.
Mm.
It's like pow from what I've read and understand, and from people who explain that have tried it, have told me you go on an instant trip. Like there's no like you're enjoying the.
Well,
like,
yeah, because of the mucus membranes that you have there.
Interesting, right? I know a guy that used to snort liquor, but that's a whole different story. But it was crazy. He would take shots. He would literally snort a cap of vodka. I mean, I know I'm going off track, but we're talking about snorting now, so no one out there try it, please. Do not try snorting.
Please don't. Don't try anything that we talk about tonight. Don't even. You can research the things that we're talking about this evening, but don't go out and try it. Don't. We're not condoning any of this in any capacity. Please don't try and do it and reach out to us and tell us what happened. Don't do that. Please don't.
No. You do not want to be responsible for anything. But, he used to snort shots of vodka. But back on the DMT trip, I was doing some research on it, and I thought it was really cool that What is that? I thought, what? Somebody's tripping tonight. So, I'm hearing these stories, right? Like people that actually go on these trips, you know. You have celebrities that I've come across that have tripped on this stuff, and they all pretty much describe the same thing, that once they take this stuff, you know, a lot of them feel that they died. They literally feel like they've died and went somewhere else. And they say that it's like the most vivid, like it's so real. It's more of a realistic life than our own life. And then I keep hearing that they wake up and it's an instant thing. They're back and they're here and they're like so amazed by the trip they were on, but a lot of times they cannot remember what it was. But people say you can reach realms of like aliens and other species and other kinds of just, you can be in touch with all kinds of things that from another realm that apparently exist. Do you come across any stories like that?
I've heard certain things that sound the same. I know it's called the quote unquote spirit molecule, DMT mm-hmm. itself, because it allegedly provide that that experience, that spiritual trip. You know, shamans I know have used it in their practices forever. You know, it's very, very common in South America and you know, certain places where people will go ahead and go through these journeys by taking some form or aspect of DMT. And while I can't say that I've ever had the opportunity to do DMT or ayahuasca or anything along those lines, I definitely feel like it's possible. You know, I won't say it's irrefutable because I'm physically able to do those things without the DMT. You know what I mean?
Oh, wow.
So,
that's what I was about to say. I was about to say, and I don't mean to cut you off, but I want to say this. I'm glad that you mentioned that, right? And the reason why I'm glad is because we do have an expert, I believe, on how DMT works. And has had experience on DMT. And we both know him. His name is Sana Cody. Sana Cody, would you like to throw some light?
Wait a minute. Can you hear me?
We can hear you, Sana Cody.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you. Yeah, we can hear you.
Is there an echo?
No echo.
All right, the DMT wore off. All right, finally. All right. No,
that's pretty scary. But yeah, why don't you shed some light on the history and the knowledge that you carry, and what you're capable of, and what you've taught others on DMT?
Well, I'll tell you right now, the United States of America considers it a narcotic class one. What do you call it? In possession of it, using it. Distribution of it will land you in jail for a while. So if the United States of America considers it illegal, dangerous, and what have you. But yet, it's interesting, in South America, like the people from the Andean Mountains have been using DMT for thousands of years. People also of the Amazon, Brazil, and so on have been using DMT for thousands of years. Also, our own people, the Taino, the Caribbean indigenous folks, have been using DMT for hundreds and thousands of years. It's different names, ayahuasca, there's the Yopo, also the Cahoba. You know, different ways of making the DMT, extracting it from the plants. Because DMT is naturally occurring in living organisms, including the Homo sapien, believe it or not. And scientists have done studies on this in which, hold on a second, the embryo, check this out, the embryo state is when they first recognized DMT activated. in the brain. REM sleep, DMT activates. And also, guess what? Can you imagine? Can anyone take a guess when does DMT show up in large doses?
No, when?
Huh?
No, when? When does it show up?
Right before you die. And this is where a lot of people traditionally will say right before death, end of life, people will talk about seeing their dead relatives. I know in the Caribbean, this is a true story. There was a woman, you know, I worked in hospice care for many years. It was this Boricua elder. She was in her 80s, and I used to visit her. And one day, she was sitting up on her bed, and straight up, she told me, I'm going to be dying soon. I don't know if it's tonight or tomorrow, but I'm dying real soon. And she took me, like, you know, I was shocked. I'm like, what? Because usually, you know, I mean, usually my patients at the time, they were like, they couldn't talk. They were incoherent, delirious. And there she is, sitting up, all fully dressed, telling she's going to die. And so I asked her, why do you think you're going to die? And she says, well, my parents came to visit me last night. And they said they're going to escort me to heaven. Plain conversation. You know what I mean? And guess what? She died 2 days later. And on the second day, her son told me she just fell asleep. She didn't wake up. And that's how she died. And this is a woman who had a stage 4 cancer. She still has some appetite. She wasn't in any pain. So she told me, like, you know, this is going to happen. I saw my parents. So basically, you know, a lot of DMT experience in South America, the curanderos there, the shamans, they call it the little death. Somehow DMT can convince your brain you're dead. So what happens when you're dead? You want to take a guess?
You die.
Well, if your brain thinks you're dead, what happens?
I don't know. You're numb. You can't move. I have no idea.
If somehow the brain is receiving messages that you are dead, with this DMT, take a wild guess. What happens to you? Anyone?
You start to trip.
Your spirit leaves your body, right?
Okay. Okay.
So what happens is the shamans, the ancestral medicine people, they figure out a way to leave their bodies. And they can commune with the spirit world. They can find answers. The Taino also practices the Bejiques, and later on the Caciques, in which they would, that was the first stage of their ceremonies. They would first have to speak to the sacred beings, the Semis, ask for advice for going to war or going through a negotiation, whatever. And then they will come back to Earth. You know, the Mexicans actually used to dress in feathers, imitating a bird in flight. You know, because that's how they start. You know, flying up in REM sleep. How many times have you guys felt like you've been flying in the air in REM sleep?
Do you think that has anything to do with astral projecting as well?
DMT activated during REM sleep. Your spirit is flying. Your spirit is traveling. I mean, you can call it astral projection, you know, but what I find amazing is for thousands of years, the Andean indigenous folks or the Amazonians with the Yopo, how in the world did they know if you take this root and you mix it with this plant, right? You can activate the DMT from the trees, you know, in which you can leave your body and travel to the spirit world. That I find one of the greatest achievements ever. What do you think about that?
Well, I think it's mind-boggling. It's ingenious. You know, I asked that same question one time when I was up north. Like, how did people discover these kinds of things? And I was told one of the answers is by watching animals, by watching what they eat, by watching the plants that they ate. We followed them, and that's how we learned a lot about medicine. And maybe that's what happened. Maybe they followed certain animal that would actually know about these mixtures or came about by accident, but I find it amazing as well. How did they come up with the formula, the ingredients? But go ahead.
Well, check this out. Ayahuasca, right? You need two plants. One is the Banatheresis capi. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it perfectly. And the Psychotria viditis. That's a root and a plant. And you have to mix that together for 24 hours. Okay?
Are you allowed to share this information?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's known. And what happened, you have to mix it. And what happened, the indigenous folks, what they do is they offer prayers, they offer songs, they eat those. And it's just amazing. How did they come up with this? These 24 hours of mixing these plants. And here's the thing. You have to do it a certain way for it to work. And it's like a tea. You create a tea afterwards. And this is where you can do the traveling. And they've been using this for 1,000 years for out-of-body experience. Sounds like a show last week, right? Out-of-body experience. And also for healing. A lot of people have healed from these medicines, like addictions and so on. Trauma. It's been used for trauma.
Okay.
And so on. So,
Here's another one.
Yeah.
There's another mind-boggling situation here, right? I'm posing this question to you and Creepy, right?
Uh-huh.
So when it comes, well, first I want to say, and anyone out there listening, if you have any information or if you actually have ever licked a toad, give us a call and tell us your experience at 515-602-9792. That's 515-602-9792 if you would like to share your story. Now, I've come across countless people that say they've gone on these trips, right? And the amazing one factor is that they all have a similar story to tell when they go on these trips. Now, I spoke to one guy, and one guy was like, oh, it's because we're all human, we all have the same brain, so we all think the same way. But how is it that everyone takes the same, I guess, drug or trip or however you want to reach and activate the DMT. And a lot of people keep saying they see like these little elves or these beings that are like smarter than we are. And they're doing all kinds of mysterious stuff. They're neither good or bad. Like, how is it that everyone is having the same kind of, comes back to the same kind of story? I mean, does that mean anything, or does it really mean that we're just all like humans and our brains just think the same, a certain pattern? Doesn't matter how high we get.
Well, you know, in the Andean tradition, the medicine men and women there, what they say is this: when you take the ayahuasca, you're returning back to the source. You're turning back to the source of all life. So you can interpret it as, you know, reality as we know it is not really reality. But when you go back, when you consume the ayahuasca, you lift the veil and you can see reality for what it is. You know, the spirit world that's with us. And a lot of people say they see elves, the little people, they see celestial beings. You know, when people take Ohoa, they say they see the semis and so on. So it's, you know, it's a good question. What is reality, you know? And it's quite interesting. I don't know if there's
So would you say it's a cultural experience?
Huh?
Would you say
that
it's a cultural experience?
It's
a cultural experience. Because if somebody is taking Cohoba, right, and they're doing it, they're not Taino, right? But they take the Cohoba with a Taino person who is administering the Cohoba. You know, let's say that they're in Puerto Rico and they know, you know, that they're doing this for a spiritual awakening. Would you say that the reason why they see the semis in their trip, right, is it because culturally speaking, they're experiencing it within that culture? Is that why they would see the semis, even if they don't have ties?
That's a very, very good question. And, you know, my experience, depending what, See, this is the whole thing about lineage, too, is important. If you want to make it cultural, you know, every tradition that uses this DMT in a traditional way, spiritual, ceremonial way, the key thing is music, the songs. And I believe that, and Stephanie, you're gonna laugh at this, but the DNA wakes up. It's like an on button. When we hear these songs, when we hear the rattles, you know, in South America, when they hear the Icaros singing, it activates us somehow. It's like something in us that the DMT can find. You know, when I took Kohol the first time, ayahuasca, I felt like there was a snake running through my body. And then when it found what it found, boom, I was gone. I left this world. So, wow, that's a very good question. But I know whenever these ceremonies are done, it's connected to song, it's connected to music, the rattle. And in ayahuasca, they use these leaves, you know. So it's very, very, wow, that's a very good question. I'm just thinking now of all my experiences in the ceremony. I know people that take it for taking it to get high. I find that those people, and I've heard these people, I've talked to these people, they get really bad experiences, like nightmares almost, and they become almost psychotic.
But what did they take?
Huh?
What did they take?
DMT, synthetic DMT. And they're just looking to get high or get that psychedelic experience or LSD. And, I mean, I know a lot of people that have good experiences with LSD, but I find in indigenous ceremonies, it's a whole different level when you have a shaman or a medicine person guiding the ceremony. You understand?
So, I have another question for you then.
Uh-huh.
From what I've heard, because essentially I've always wanted to do ayahuasca for the experience. So, you know, we touched on it briefly in the last podcast. I was told that I shouldn't do ayahuasca because I can commune with the dead. So because I go from land of living to the land of the dead, it can be a little bit more dangerous for me. If I become untethered during the process. Is it also true, right, that things like ayahuasca should be reserved for men and then things like psychedelic mushrooms should be used for women or different variations of DMT based on the genetic makeup of men and women?
Well, to tell you the truth, I've been in ceremonies where both men and women were together. And I've been in ceremonies with just men. I don't think that's an issue there. What is an issue is that the person has the lineage, has the proper training, how to perform the ceremony. You understand? Did that answer your question?
So it doesn't matter
what
you're saying, right? Man or woman,
that
it's just...
sounds like.
I mean, I've been in ceremonies.
I was told that women. No, go ahead.
No, I've been in ceremonies with men and women. Only thing is, you got to make sure who the leader is and make sure he has credentials. He's legit because you know you're at a vulnerable state. Sometimes you can't even move, so you have to have helpers. You know, if you know, you got to be real careful with this. So the experienced ones, the ones who are credible, are ones that have take nothing for granted, and they have helpers for the women and for the men. I've seen women just deal with women, helping women. I've seen men helping the men, I guess out of respect, you know, gender roles or respect, whatever. But I think it's important because you are on a vulnerable state, and there's been some reports of people being sexually abusive and during these times. So you got to be very careful. You got to be real careful.
But, okay, that's interesting.
I was going to say, I wanted to share a story with you guys, right? This is very weird. I remember when I lived in Canada, one time I Googled DMT and all kinds of stuff, right? I came across this, like, article. It was the most interesting, one of the most interesting things I've come across. And the weird part is it was only there for a week. I've never been able to find it again. And I miss New York. I hear the cars honking in the background. Anyways, I remember that I was reading that the government was doing an experiment, I believe, on DMT, and they were making these drugs, these pills. They gave it to the subjects, and they described what happened. When they gave them a certain amount, these people said that they were able to kind of like astral project and reach like another realm. And if they gave them, the more potent they got, the more longer and more they got to see, where everyone had the same story, where they were able to pretty much fly and they would end up in space and they could see the world and look down on the world and see like there was a different world, and they were able to communicate with other beings like aliens and stuff like that and other planets. The more higher they got, the more deeper in space they were able to travel. And supposedly they got to a point so deep in space where they saw these giant figures and they were actually creating space. And the figures knew, whatever it was, these giant beings knew that they were there. And to them, it was like God, or it was a God. And they were actually creating space. But it was so like, it's like an ant trying to communicate with us. The presence was known. They knew that they were there watching them. They knew that these beings were like good, or, but they were so on a different level that we meant something, but there was still more that we didn't know that was beyond. And I thought that was a fascinating story about DMT and supposedly the study the government was doing, but I've never been able to find that story again. It was up there for like a week, and it came down, disappeared. Don't know what happened to it. But with that said, Lou, you said you don't need drugs to reach that level, correct? Do you know how, and would you like to show us how a little bit, how maybe we could reach our own levels of DMT and maybe want to have that experience in a safe way?
Sure. There's a famous Ayoka medicine man. His name was Grandpa Frank Foosecrow of the Lakota people. And I studied a lot of his teachings. I spoke to a lot of people who knew him. And he's gone on record saying that he didn't need any plants. He didn't need any medicine to bring him to the spirit world. And of course, a lot of people that knew Foosecrow, he cured every disease imaginable. And people, famous people, celebrities used to go to him
when
for
you
help.
When you say every disease, what do you mean, every disease? Like HIV, AIDS?
Yes, HIV, what was it, HIV, cancer, you name it, he cured it all. And he would travel. And he would travel to the spirit world. He went as far as saying he went to the footstep of God. He went where God exists, the supreme. And he would speak to the mineral world. He would speak to this plant world, animal world. And he would find the secrets there. So for many years, I've been trying to study, you know, his way of how he did it. And before he died, he had it written down. Thomas Males, a Lutheran priest, sat down with him through translators, trying to put this in writing. There's a famous book called Frank Foosecrow. It's called Power. Oh, geez, I forgot the second name. I had this book for 20 years. I can never remember the title. I'm sorry. I'm going blank now. But basically, he writes it all. You know, he wanted to make sure before he died at 99 that his secrets, well, not really secrets, but his rituals will never die. So I've been practicing this form for many years, and I performed it with people ceremonially, and it takes a little longer than ayahuasca. Ayahuasca, you can, after 20 minutes to 60 minutes, you're leaving your body, With this one, it takes a little longer, but it depends on the person as well. And there's certain steps you have to follow. Some of those steps I put on YouTube already. The purifying. Frank Fusco calls it the hollow bone. At 12, let me see, at 11:30, we can still go on, we can still stay on the air. And I can share with the people if they download this show later on. Because after 1 hour, people who are listening in don't hear it anymore. But I can continue after the hour time limit.
Online. Online. But yeah. If you call in, you can still hear the show.
Well, in the hour mark, at exactly 11:30 Eastern time, people who are listening, it gets cut off. But you can download the show, go to the hour mark, and after 11:30, I can definitely lead people, give them the basics of how to do it on their own.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. After
thank
1 hour.
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
I like that. Okay.
And it's something that traditional medicine people
have. Oh, really quick.
Just
to let you know, the name of the book is Wisdom and Power.
Wisdom and Power.
If anyone's interested.
Yeah,
but
Wisdom and Power.
Continue what you were saying.
Sure, yeah. So it's, you know, I can introduce some of that. I've spoken to people who knew of Frank Fool's Crow, and he was the most he was the most respected medicine man. And he was born in the Plains Buffalo days, and he also lived through the Reservation days. He's also a nephew of Black Elk. He was also the Hiyoka. And, you know, when he died, he wanted to make sure that he left this. So I want people to know that there is an alternative, okay? And I totally respect the ayahuasca tradition. You know, I respect the Cohova, you know, tradition, or the Yopo that's still being practiced in South America. But like I said this before, when you take medicine, when you take these plants, there's physical side effects if you're not prepared or if the leader is not prepared, because your heart rate will raise. And if you have heart disease or something or high blood pressure, it can't kill you. So people have to be very careful. People have seizures. It can give you seizures. You definitely lose muscle coordination. Okay? This is why it's very important that you make sure you know who you're with, because especially if you're a woman, you know, you're vulnerable to attacks. You got to be real careful. And there's been reports of this. So you definitely are at risk of falls and injury afterwards. It lasts a good 24 hours after you take it.
Really?
Also, there's confusion. You can become psychotic. I've seen that, psychoses. And I want a lot of people to understand this too. There's a syndrome, it's called serotonin syndrome, okay? And that's when DMT is in your bloodstream, in your brain, at high levels, okay? And this can lead to a potentially life-threatening condition. And that's what it's called, serotonin syndrome disorder. And this I see a lot in people who take the synthetic DMT, and it can cause death. So we have to be careful. We have to be careful with these, especially when you go to a ceremony like ayahuasca. It causes anxiety, tremor, shivering, and pupils might be dilated. So, and also people who take jojoba or people who take ayahuasca, you have to fast at least 4 days before, and certain foods you gotta avoid. You can't mix it with alcohol, antihistamines, muscle relaxers, opiates, benzos, amphetamines. Also, LSD. Can't mix it with LSD. You can't mix it with mushrooms. Cocaine and cannabis. A lot of people who take DMT will smoke cannabis. I've seen this happen, and I've seen the person hold their head like it's ready to blow up. So we have to be really careful. Now the jury is still out. Is DMT addictive? You really can be addicted. You really, in my opinion, you can't, because it's so, you know, it's sometimes it's harsh. It's very harsh, especially when you snuff it. So yeah, you gotta respect it. Foremost, you gotta respect it. You have to respect it. This is ceremonial for thousands of years. And it's a trip, no pun intended.
So we heard the negative part. What's the positive out of all this? Like, what do you know? People that have, I mean, I was listening to Mike Tyson who used DMT, and he said that he felt like he died, but he realized it was his ego that died, and he literally thought he was dead, but then he realized he came back to life. I heard so many people experience the same thing. They all say that they feel like they went too far, like, oh, they OD'd, and they died. But they really didn't, and they realized it was their ego, and they come back finding themselves or, you know, looking at life with a new perspective. I mean, can you share some stories that you know of?
Well, the people that I know, yeah, the people that I know through the years, what happens is with scientists, some scientists even call it the God molecule or the spirit molecule. It just totally connects you to the spirit world, totally connects you where you feel like you are part of something greater than yourself. Something greater than yourself. Very important. I find a lot of people say that where they travel, they can see galaxies. You know, they can see their dead relatives. I remember when I had one experience, I had four grandmothers come to me, but that was my bloodline. I recognized them. I even smelled them. I smelled my great-grandmother, you know. And here's the thing. It connects you to the source of all life. I remember one experience I had with ayahuasca. I couldn't move. You know, I couldn't move. And all of a sudden, I hear the medicine man starts to chant, and he says, for everyone to stand up. You know, he's chanting, everyone stand up. And I'm like, first thing, I was thinking, like, what? And then what happened was we were all standing up, and then I see, like, flashes of light. And then I understood the medicine man saying, okay, this is what God looks like. This is God. Feel God. God is here. And I saw flashes of light when my eyes closed. And when I opened, it was gone. When I closed it, damn, 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 damn. And I could hear the rattle. And you see the flash. And then I just felt this peace and love like never before. I think the only time I felt that love was when I was in my mother's, when I was attached to the umbilical cord. I swear that's what I felt like. It was like a distant memory, but it felt so secure. I was so secure. Was that?
No, I said, that's really deep that you kind of say that. If it's like a feeling that reminisces that being attached to your mother's umbilical cord, but I mean, how do we remember that? And that's what you felt like, the feeling.
Well, what it felt like.
Maybe it just felt natural, like home.
What
comfort.
Was that?
I said maybe it was that feeling of just naturally feeling at home and comfort.
Yeah, and then when I saw the light, I felt like. That's the time that I was born. Like, I was created. That was the time that I was created, because it's just like, wow. Like a light. It was like a lightning. Boom. Here I am. I just came to be. You understand? And then all of a sudden, I'm in my mother's body, you know? And I felt so... I was floating, you know? Like, you're in water.
Yeah.
And then that's the thing. And then what happened was there was another experience where I went backwards in time. I literally went backwards to the very beginning of my existence, so, you know, of my bloodlines and stuff like that. My bloodlines, I should say. And that lasted 8 hours. So it's...
Wow.
You know, for me, DMT, in ceremony, with preparation, you know, 4 days of fasting beforehand, it's a very, very powerful experience. Our Arbejiques will fast for months. You know, they will take a drink with certain plants and water, and it will cleanse. That's why sometimes you see the Semis with the bones, you see the ribs. Yeah, they pretty much fasted almost close to death, you know, but... When they took that DMT, when they took the Cohoba, they were ready. And it's powerful stuff. I'm telling you, it's and I heard so many great stories of changing people's lives, as you say. And
so let me ask you this.
Uh-huh.
Because these experiences occurred, once again, utilizing the ayahuasca, which activated the DMT, correct? Now... I'm going to share a part of a story with you guys, right? And, for example, I did a sweat. And when I did my sweat, I had a vision. I did see – I saw two things in there during two rounds of a sweat that I did, right? Is that the same thing? Does that – the DMT being activated while I was in there, what I saw? Because I checked out, man. Like, I couldn't believe what I saw, but go ahead.
Yeah, close to it. I think what happens is in the sweat lodge, you have the leader who's singing song, right, during the ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes they have rattles or a chant. It's something connected to the music. See, that's the lifeline. You need to hear that song. So when you travel, you know how to come back. You know, it's very important to have that song played. So I've been in many lodges, and I'm also a leader of a lodge. So it comes close. It comes close to that. It comes really close to that.
So by me having a vision in there, was that the DMT being activated, or that's more of a spiritual thing than I probably witnessed? Or both.
Well, you know, these are higher forms of consciousness. Did you feel like you left your body?
I was so zoned out, man. I felt like I felt like I was zoned out. Like I just went. I remember I was so hot, and then out of nowhere, it was like I went into a trance. That's what it felt like. Like I was in a trance.
Right.
And then I saw this.
Right. Well, I think, you know,
so,
it, you know, like I said, DMT is naturally occurring in our brain, pineal gland. So it all depends if that saw, if that lodge got you to a point where you were able to travel outside of yourself, then that's the key right there. You know,
I remember in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I remember in the beginning before I did the sweat, it was a medicine woman and a man, and she was like, I was freaking out, right? She was like, don't be scared, we're all family. She's like, you have 10-year-old kids that do this, so you're going to be safe. So I was planning to close my eyes and just go through it, and then she tells me before we start, no matter what you do, keep your eyes open, because you may see something. Some people even say they see space when they're in here, and that's
right.
What you reminded me of. That's just, I can't even explain it. Of course, right, I thought to myself, what space? But after I experienced it, I know how powerful this is. And I'm just trying to equate it. Is it a spiritual journey? You know, is it DMT? Like you said, it's different consciousness, you know?
Listen, this is the bottom line. If you leave your body, the physical realm, that's the goal. You need to leave your body. Your spirit needs
gotcha.
To go.
Gotcha.
You need to leave. Now, the lifeline to come back is the song.
And that's what keeps you from getting lost.
That's why the medicine leaders always sing the song, always singing it. I'm going to, you know, I extended the show another 30 minutes or so. We got a caller on the line, but I want to play your songs first. Give you a little sample of it. You got all that song during the ayahuasca ceremony? And
okay.
This is a song referring to the plant as medicine. So let me get that. And you can get a little sample of, you can imagine yourself in a small area, or it can be a large space, somewhere in the rainforest, you know, listening to this song. Actually, let me give you the title of the song. It's called Calling the Plant Spirits for Healing. Nokan Shaguan Jaipopo. Okay. Let's hear this.
Nogo shawang kai bo bo hurun ra ma tu hai ya kai hi niska shamang kin ma tu hai hi ya kai hi ma tu hai hi ya kai hi ma tu ho he ayo shon ma tu hi shon ma rong ke hin niska rari ku no shawa rari bo no shawa rari bo no ma bo hu bo was ke hin no ma bo hu bo was ke hin chiti chiti shamang Shamangin, raro raro shamangin, no mato isho non, no mato isho non, no gong shawang kai bo bo ho, non ra mato hui ya kai hi, niska shamangin, mato hui hi ya kai hi, mato hui hi ya kai hi, mato hui ayo shon, mato isho manong kein, niska rariko, no shawa nani bo, no shawa Rani bo, no ma bo, bo waske, no ma bo, bo waske, chiti chiti shamangin, raro raro shamangin, no ma to isho non, no ma to isho non, no gong shawang kai bo bo, non da ma to hai ya kai, niska shamangin, ma to hai ya kai, ma to hai ya kai, ma to ho hai ayo shon, ma to isho Banong ke niska rani ko no shawa rani bo no shawa rani bo no ma bo bo waske chiti chiti shamangin daru daru shamangin no ma to isho no no ma to isho no no ma to isho no no ko shawang kai bo bo no ra ma to hiya kai niska shamangin ma to hoi Yakai, Matu Hoi Yakai, Matu Hoi Ayo Shon, Mato Ishon Banongi, Niska Radiko, No Shawanani Bo, No Shawanani Bo, No Mabo, Bo Askin, Chiti Chiti Shamagin, Daru Daru Shamagin, No Mato Ishon, No Mato Ishon.
Okay, so that's an example of the Igaro song. This song I picked because it's like right when you're in the heat of the moment, just when the medicine is really kicking in, you know, depending on what vision you're having. It could be for healing a cancer or whatever. You know, you're really getting in, you're really doing the work right there, or the medicine's doing the work. You know, it's intense. So what do you think, Spooky Lou? We still out there?
I think we lost Lou.
I see him on the line there, but I think he's floating away.
Oh man. Let me find out. Lou, take the trip.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to introduce an old friend of mine, an old friend of Taino Radio, and also Nawake Radio, and that is...
Hey, how's it going, Lou?
Renee, are you there?
I'm here, brother. How's it going?
Oh, man. Yeah, thank you for being patient. I don't know what happened to Spooky Lou. I think he spooked out.
Yeah.
I'm
scary stuff. Scary stuff. We're looking for him.
Long time, brother.
Hey, Lou, what's up, brother? It's been a long time, man.
I know, I know. People don't know, Renee's my bro, Brooklyn brother. Have family in the same town in Puerto Rico. We kicked it to Brooklyn and my neighborhood many times to catch up. How's everything, man?
Both dads.
Doing good?
I'm good, bro. Everything is good, man. I was just listening, and it was an interesting conversation. I like the conversation you guys was talking about. I've done the Kahoa thing before. It didn't work for me, and I fasted and everything, but it didn't work for me, kind of, you know. And the toad part with the venom, that's called campo ritual. What they put it on the arm, and it's like these little dots. They put the venom of the toad, and you can actually obtain a trance when you get into ayahuasca and Cahoba. But it's a very powerful venom from the toad.
Have you done both?
I've never done both. I only did Cahoba, which I would never do again. In South America, they call it Yoko.
Yoko. Well, you know,
no,
Yoko, Renee, Yoko. Tell us a little bit more of the experience of how it was. What did you do to prepare the moment you did it? What did you feel? Did it hurt? Did it burn? And what happened?
So the thing is, it didn't really work for me. And it was a very strong dosage, too. It worked for everybody else. It didn't work for me. Well, the thing is, you have to fast. Lewis could tell you that. You have to... you know, you definitely have to fast. And what it is they blow it in your nose. It's like a powder. The Tainos used to use a tube. And they blow it in your nose. And what happens is the nose kind of swells up. And the first thing you notice is the tears come out of your eyes. And then afterwards, your heart just starts racing, you know, and your body starts getting hot. But, and then you experience kind of vomit. It's not like ayahuasca, which I never done, but what ayahuasca does, it makes you have diarrhea and vomit from both sides. So you have to bring extra underwears and toilet paper when you take ayahuasca. So, but with Cahoba.
Foul stuff. I think I'm going to stick to the toad. Right, creepy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I stick with the toad.
Yeah, because you having you would have a shitty experience. But the thing was, it's like with the Cahoba, it's just it didn't work for me. So I didn't want to vomit. I didn't want to do the vomit. So I wasn't going to vomit. I wasn't getting nauseous. But I was trying to control my heart rate. So the first thing I did, I started doing my breathing, and everybody was leaving the hut, and everybody was just vomiting ferociously. Not me. I was the only one in the hut. It didn't really work for me. But what it did was I had a bad experience that it gave me a migraine very bad the next day, and I caught a sinus infection, and I had vertigo, which this is why I would never do it again, because I caught vertigo, which I don't wish that upon my enemy. You know, it's like the world is spinning around you, you know, for like 2 weeks. Imagine that, you know. So, and then
two weeks, bro.
It was a bad experience, man. I would never do it again. Never again.
That's terrible. Well, let me ask you this: what about the other people? Did they have an experience? Did they see anything? Was it worth it for them?
Yeah, it works for them somehow. It did work. They did see the experience is very spiritual. The experience was, I remember a friend of mine said, you know, he felt the earth kind of sad, and like he didn't litter no more after that. But I tell you a very interesting story. of ayahuasca experience. Not for me, but this is a true story, actually. There was this a couple, a lady was pregnant, and the man, they were a white couple. And they went to Peru for an ayahuasca ceremony, just for an experience. And they met a shaman. And when they went through the shaman, what happens is the shaman is the one that takes the ayahuasca, not the candidates. So what the shaman did, it was very dark, right? When he has fire, he takes the maraca, and then he's shaking it. You know, he's shaking it to them while he's on the ayahuasca, he's shaking it. And he's just going towards them and singing to them. And the next day, the next morning, he draws what he saw. And the guy was telling the shaman that he has back pain. And he says, all right, this is what I saw. I saw that you have parasites in your spine. And then he told the woman, okay, you're going to have a daughter. The next day, they go back to the States. And sure enough, the guy did have parasites, and she did have a daughter. So ayahuasca is like the electron microscope in a spiritual sense. It can see through things when you're on it.
Wow.
Yeah.
And this was a shaman. He was able to predict that this was going to happen. And he was
yeah.
on it. I mean, when they
see,
were
a shaman. Yeah, see, a shaman, the definition of a shaman is a person who can see in the dark. Right? That's what the definition of a shaman is. Yeah, because while you on a trance, the shaman is one that guides you to make you see through the light while you're going. Because people think that going through this trance is like rosy and rainbows. It's not. It is not. It's a very, very scary experience. Because it's to teach you that death is only an illusion. So what do you do is you go through this terrible experience to teach you that death is an illusion and you come a reborn, a new individual. And this is why in the Taino stories, Wayahona, who is one of the major stories in our spirituality, changes his name later on, which Lewis can talk about that.
That's very deep. Wow, very, very, very interesting stories, man. Especially the fact that you've actually tried to do it. Do you have an idea as to why it didn't take effect on you, but everyone else it did?
Ask too.
Yeah, I mean, that's a very good question. I have no idea, to be honest with you. It could be because I know how to breathe really well, right? And some people were saying, oh, maybe you was fighting it. I was not fighting it at all. In fact, the more you fight it, the more it kind of experiences. I really don't know, to be honest with you. I have no idea. That's a very good question, you know. I have no idea.
I think what happens is... The medicine is very individualized as well. It all depends what you need. What medicine do you need for that ceremony?
Mhm. Yeah, I agree with you. And you know, I
so
remember
what does
I heard
that
someone.
Mean? Go ahead.
No, maybe Lewis is trying to say maybe I didn't need anything. You know, because when I remember someone, I heard that someone was saying, what was the difference when a woman takes the medicine and a man takes the medicine, right? Can women take it except for men? But the truth of the matter is, medicine doesn't have, well, depends on the message in the medicine. A woman experience has a different experience than a man experience. I'll give you an example. I used to have an ex-girlfriend. She moved to South America, and she is a master of the medicine. Okay, she was initiated, and she is a master of the medicine of ayahuasca. Like, she understands all the plants. She has amazing experience. And she's Puerto Rican. She moved to South America in the Amazon, and she's still there. She told me an interesting thing. And she's a woman, and she had experiences just like every other person. But one thing she said to me that was interesting was, the people here in Florida, you know how the blanquitos, they abuse the teachings, the sacred teachings, right? And they use it for monetary purposes. And she said she took it in Florida before she moved. But the experience, she thought it was a great experience until she went to South America. And the reason that medicine was more potent was because the natives do something that the white people don't do, which they sing to the plant. And when you sing to the plant and you act and you praise on the ancestors, what they do is you sing to the plant so the ancestors can come inside the plant. And when you take the medicine, that's how you come in contact with those ancestors. And that's the difference. So when you take it the other way from here in America, it's like taking an empty vessel. You're going to get an experience, but it's not the same.
That's interesting.
Gotcha. It's like the little magic ingredient. Go ahead, Creepy.
Yeah. So earlier I had asked if the experience that you receive using a substance that has DMT in it, if the experience that's received, because Lou was asking, you know, about everybody who generally takes DMT has a similar story, right? Mm-hmm. So we asked if culturally, when you're taking these substances in a culturally relevant sense, does that culture or is that culture relevant to the experience that you receive? So what I'm getting from you is, so long as, culturally speaking, it's treated in a traditional manner, you're going to generally receive a similar
exactly.
response or reaction in your experience?
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. I tell you something that's very interesting that most people don't know, and to this day in Puerto Rico, you have a lot of people in certain groups that disagree with this. But this is the truth. Medicine comes from the woman. And the story
right.
of South America and the story of the Taino people, if you look at the stories of a woman, her name was, in the Taino stories, her name was Walbonito, which is the wrong name for her. That wasn't her correct name, but we really don't know her correct name because that comes from more of the colonized who kind of wrongfully named her that. But in South America, she is called Orehu, which means a serpent or a water spirit, but it's a female. And the story is that it was a man who was just like the story of the Taino named Wayahona, but in South America, the same story. So I'm going to tell you the story of the one in South America because it's the same. So his name was Arawanili, and his medicine wasn't working on the people. They were getting sick. So he went to a journey to look to find this woman, a water spirit. And he saw her in the water. She comes out, and he's beautiful water spirit or female shaman. She was the master. And he tells her, you know, nothing is working. I don't know what to do. She goes, okay, I'm going to tell you what to do. She says, I want you to plant these seeds here, and you're going to grow a specific fruit. The fruit, in what we call in Puerto Rico, the native word, is called higuera. In English, it is called the calabash. So the calabash, he says, you grow it, and you're going to skin it, and you're going to make a little circle thing. So he told her, he said, like this? She goes, yeah, something like this. So she makes a little circle, she skins it alive, and then she puts two holes, which the stick goes in, which is called the maraca. So the maraca was a tool that was created from the woman. And that maraca, she taught him, initiated him, into the sacred mysteries of medicine. So when he went back to the people, he was curing everybody. And the maraca is an emblem or an instrument that represents the male unison and the female masculine. So the little circle, the maraca, the ball one, the circular, is the womb or the female, and the stick represents the phallic or the male. So it is the unison of the male and female energy while practicing the medicine, every time you shake the maraca. And the little pebbles, which they call sibibis, are the ideas, because maraca was also a symbol of the head. of the human head, if you look at it. So every time you shake it, you're manifesting those ideas.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. It's also a beautiful story, but it's very interesting.
Yeah, yeah, it's a very, very beautiful story from the Arawak people, our ancestors in South America. So the medicine was, because there's a debate, you know, the women, you know, some groups say, the women cannot be, and that's not true. Women make excellent medicine people. Actually, the best, in my opinion.
Also, I find that women that take jojoba, it's very violent for them.
Yeah, they go through a very excruciating experience.
Yep, and I always tell, I've gone on record on this as a former leader of jojoba. I do not suggest that women take jojoba. In South America, in Venezuela, Colombia, the Arawakos, they don't allow their women to take it unless they're in menopause and medicine people.
Mm-hmm.
They're medicine people. I think it's very important that people realize this, that unless you're on that medicine path, the Bihike way, especially Kohola, it's very important they should abstain from it because this is a unique ceremony. I'm very strict about this. A unique ceremony for Bihike. And I know during the invasion, it kind of changed. It seemed like the caciques held control of it for some reason. I don't know if you know about the reason why, it was taken away from the Bihikes.
You're 100% correct, and I agree with you 100%. I always tell people, even people who do medicine, make sure that you mentally, physically,
mm-hmm.
and spiritually
mm-hmm.
prepared, because mm-hmm. there are some people, they can be physically and perhaps spiritually, but they're not mentally prepared. They can be too emotional or have mental
mm-hmm.
issues and stuff like that. You really have to be mental, physically, and spiritually prepared. And that's why you have to fast, because you have to be cleaning yourself. If you ever watch this movie, there's a great movie. And I know Lewis knows this movie. It is called Embrace of the Serpent. You remember that movie, Lewis?
Yeah, it's an old one.
Yeah, it's a great one. You remember when the white guy was eating and the guy said, oh, I want the medicine? And what the Indian said, no, that's like killing yourself, like poison.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't fasting. He was starving.
Yeah.
The Indian was just making him fast, you know?
Yep. It can be poisonous. You're right.
Mm-hmm. He says like poison.
Right.
So that's a very interesting, very – in Puerto Rico, we do have a plant that is very, very, very dangerous. In fact, my grandmother – my uncle told me that my grandmother used to make tea out of it to numb you, put you to sleep. Yeah, la campana. That's a very dangerous plant. They call that like a zombie plant or something. You can – in fact, it is said that in South America, you do have shamans who can be kind of charlatans, and they do this to Taurus. You have to be very careful. They mix ayahuasca with that plant, and you will never be the same again. You will be mentally destroyed.
It's not good.
Mm-hmm. And some Taurus people don't notice. It's not good, and they will come out crazy.
Yeah, that's right. Psychotic. We got mm-hmm. That's the thing. You got to be real careful with these medicines. And
mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's just something that you know, we honor these medicines, these plants. You know, we were joking early in the show about psychedelics and this and that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the U.S. government, my theory is the U.S. government does not want people to take these plants.
Now they're starting to realize.
Because they're scared.
They're scared, yeah. And a lot of scientists now are starting to study it. Mm-hmm. Because you know why? Because through medicine, you know yourself more. You get to know yourself.
You
know, so when you, yeah, so they're afraid of that. They don't want you to know yourself. So the thing is that now scientists are starting to realize that this can benefit some people who are drug addicts. There was a guy, he was a heroin addict, and he went to South America. When he took ayahuasca, he came back clean, never did it again, never touched it. Depression was gone, everything. So it can help you. There's some benefits to it. But the key is to not rely on the medicine.
Say that again. I didn't hear you.
The key is to not rely on the plant. that's for you to become the plant. And through that is through how the gurus and the martial art monks and all these guys learn through meditation
mm-hmm.
and through breathing techniques that you can experience that on your own. Mm-hmm.
And that's a great point. And this is where Frank Fools-Crows talks about that it's in us. We are the medicine. We don't need, like he said, he didn't need a plant because he's the medicine. We have it in us. So
exactly.
That's a great point you mentioned. Very good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's that you are the medicine. You are the it's, you have to just kind of cleanse yourself. To clean your temple, you have to take care of your body, do meditation, do correct breathing. 95% of humans don't breathe correctly. But if you look at a baby mm-hmm. breathes 100% correct naturally. So, they breathe naturally. And the thing is,
that
if we learn to, exactly, they have that ability. It's just natural for them. And without realizing it, sometimes without realizing, we kind of stop breathing. You never notice that? Like, we don't realize we're breathing. And you got to kind of pause and be like, let me do some breathing. So you need to pay attention to your breathing. Spinal alignment is very important. Walking up straight, sitting up straight, and learning
posture.
to be in posture. Yes. And learning to become one with self. And sometimes we live in a world where it's just a lot of distraction, right? And it's hard to, you know, in New York City, it's hard to be in distractions, noisy. But the reason a person cannot sit still for 1 second is because they don't know how to quiet their mind, and they're afraid to sit still and quiet their mind because they start thinking about things that they don't want to think about. But that is the whole point. The whole point is to sit still and to not think about, you can't stop the thinking process, but just go with the flow and just learn to empty your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It's the thing with meditation. Meditate. It's not necessarily clearing your mind. It's filtering the thoughts and being able to become one with the ideas and the thoughts, not allowing it to consume you, but you taking control of the situation with the elements around you.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's why it's very important to sometimes meditate for at least 15 minutes. Do a nice kind of breathing, wash your hands, and drink a couple of water before you do it. A nice cup of water, and then breathe deep breaths 7 times. And then after that, to a point when you start going to a nice thinking process, you pay attention to the breathing, and all of a sudden you're going to realize your mind just goes with the flow. You know, it's like you don't even realize it. At least 15 minutes. I think a good exercise is looking at a fire, like a little flame, a candle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. That's an excellent exercise.
That is so funny.
Listen, guys, we're super over time. Spooky Lou had to leave. He's tending to a special event going on there in Las Vegas, Nevada, praying for an Aztec warrior woman. She knows who she is. She's recovering from an illness, so she's in our prayers. But listen, Renee, I'd like to thank you for coming here. We got to bring you back.
Yes.
Maybe we'll get a show on the creation stories. How about that?
Sure, that'd be awesome, bro. Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of my favorites. And Scary Steph. What I want to do now is we're at the 35-minute mark left. We're going to, I want to do a guided DMT meditation. How about that? So, you guys can listen, or you guys can, hang up and listen as well. And anyone who's listening, this is at the, we're going to start at the 30-minute mark. I want to put on a song. It's called Medicine. It's an Ícaro song from a Peruvian ayahuasca ceremony. It's called Medicine. Once again, you're listening to Taíno Radio. Thank you for all listening. Radio Taíno. Thank you all for tuning in. Stay tuned as you archive this show. Tune into the guided meditation of DMT, naturally occurring in our brain. Better words, but this is a ceremonial way of activating the DMT, which is naturally occurring in every life form. And this is something that I've through Gohobra experience, ayahuasca, and also the teachings of Grandpa Fang Foo's Crow, the Yoka Medicine Man, So I just want people to sit down and relax, find a space that's very quiet. There's no distractions. You need to shut off your phone. And it's very important that you find that space, at least for the next 30 minutes. You find that space that's quiet. Shut the door, no distractions. And if you need to listen to the recording, once again, it's at the 1 hour and 30 minute mark in this show, what is DMT. So what I always do is, you know, stage number one, step one is definitely set up your environment, burn some sage, Palo Santo, Tawanuco, tobacco, whatever brings you that space of sacredness, that space of tranquility, almost like going back to the womb, going back to your mother's womb. That's where you want to go. You just want to chill right there and just relax. Just relax and be proud of yourself that you took this time. You know, self-love. You're taking opportunity to use the medicine that was given to you at birth. Very important to understand that. So what's going to happen is once you find a comfortable space where you're not going to fall asleep, it's better you sit. If you need to lay down, that's cool. If you got a hammock, better. So what's going to happen is I'm going to, since I am Taino, and if anyone out there listening is Taino, I'm going to use the Taino calling song. Calling out to the ancestors, calling out to the creator, creatress, and pleading to this highest source that, you know, you want the attention, you want the healing, that you want it like nothing else. And this is what healing is. And if you have an ailment like cancer, HIV, you know, you can be cured. But once again, you have to plead. You have to ask. Okay? You have to ask. So I'll start with the Taino calling song, the calling of the 12 semis, which for me, they're pieces of the puzzle. You put all the semis together and you will find the highest source, the great spirit, the mysterious one. So I think it's important that we understand that we're all limited beings. We're all at this human level. So it's important that we understand that as an opportunity to grow, an opportunity to heal. So shut all your cell phones, all distractions, and now we're going to go to step two, and this is the place where we're going to enter, in which we're going to let go all things that slow us down, all those things that prevent us from healing. It could be self-doubt. It could be problems that you're discovering, maybe going through a divorce. Maybe your job, you're not doing well, you're doubting your confidence, maybe you're finding an addiction, maybe you find yourself alone, no longer have any friends. So this is a problem that sometimes we encounter in our lives. Maybe you're encountering all this today. So we bring it all to the foot of the creatress, creator.
Welcome.
Yo kahu ma pire guayaba. Waka waka ma. Bai brahma ubie guavia. Waka ma waka ma. Para guava e coro cote. Daido dia, daido ti, daido ti. Yokahu atame, osui bako mamona. Yokahu oa. Ave yokahu wama. At this time, I want you to inhale through your nose. Count 4 seconds as you inhale. 1, 2, 3, 4. Now I want you to hold your breath for 4 seconds. 1, 2, 3, 4. Want you to exhale through your mouth. 4 seconds. 1, 2, 3, 4. Inhale. Hold your breath. Exhale. Repeat. Inhale. Hold your breath. Exhale. You repeat a third time. Inhale. 1, 2, 3, 4. Hold your breath. 1, 2, 3, 4. Exhale. 1, 2, 3, 4. One more time. Repeat. Inhale. Hold your breath. Exhale. At this time, I want you to think of all those things that's holding you down, all the poison that you've been carrying. It could be the poison of gossip, poison of letting your family down, poison of domestic violence, poison of sexual abuse, poison not knowing where your life is heading, poison thinking of suicide, poison cutting yourself. I'm going to ask you to take a deep breath. Then you're going to exhale, inhale, exhale, inhale, exhale. We'll do that 7 times. When you exhale, get rid of the poison that's in you. Inhale, exhale. Feel the oxygen running through your body. Feel the relaxation. Step 2 is letting go of the poison. Letting go of that which you don't need. That which is killing you. Just let it all go. Thank you. Inhale, exhale. Inhale, exhale the poison. Feel like you've taken as much medicine which is found inside of you. Once you have taken the medicine, now when you feel empty, when you feel hollow, I want you to search for the highest power. Search for the source of all life. call out and receive this power from the top of your head to the bottom of your toes, from the bottom of your toes to the top of the head, from the thigh, from the diagonal. Let the power consume you. Step three, you ask for the source of all life, the power to consume you. Enjoy this power, for it is a gift from the highest power. Oh, God. O kama atabe sumako. O kama mamuna kwabase. O kama. Search for someone. Search for them all that need the power. Step two, now that you have received the power, now you must release it. Send it to someone. Send it to someone that needs it. You now become the healer. As soon as you release this power, you will be empty again, so you can receive more power. So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to be empty. Don't be afraid to give, for you will once again receive. But you must ask, and you must give. I know thee,
I'm